Good morning and praise the Lord. Let us open our Bible and read Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 to 17. Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 to 17. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock, and establish my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto you, our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respected not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us ward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O God, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not retained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not be able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Let us now pray. Let us now give thanks to God for all the blessings we received from Him. Heavenly Father, we come to you today with a thankful heart in your presence. Thank you, Lord, for all your goodness, your faithfulness, and your loving kindness to us. Thank you, Lord, for the endless love that you gave to us to fear you, to trust you, to rely on you, and see your power in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the lives you entrusted to us to enter the narrow gate and to continue to go and walk in the narrow way that you ordained for us to walk through. Lord, we thank you for opening our eyes to see the beauty of your holiness, for the discipline, for your blood that shed on the cross, for the forgiveness of our sins, for the provision, for the rebuke through your word, for all answered prayers, and for every trial that we pass through. Lord, we thank you for the whole week you sustain us, for the miracles and wonders that you did, for our food, the good health, the strength, answered prayers, and for the healing. Lord, we magnify you and we exalt you in our midst in the name of Jesus. Let us now confess our sins to God. Lord, we confess our sins, renounce them. Lord, cleanse us by your blood. Lord, as we repent and renounce our sins, we commit once again into your hand to live a life to please you and honor you in the name of Jesus. Let us now pray for our personal petitions and requests. Lord, we trust you and rely on you that you will provide us all our needs and will answer our prayers according to your will and in your perfect time. Let us now pray for our families. Pray for your husband. Pray for your wife. Pray for your children. Pray for your parents and pray for your siblings. Lord, we pray that every family will shine so others will start to seek you and obey you by their good example and deeds. We pray to protect each family and provide their needs. We pray for every husband to give them wisdom how to execute your plan and have discretion to do your will in their families. We pray for good health, strength, stable job and income to sustain their families. We pray for the wives to be submissive to their godly husbands and to help them in their lives and ministries. We pray for the parents to be of one mind to honor you by disciplining their children and to impart to them your word and to do your will. Lord, we pray for the children and the youths to fear you and obey their godly parents and honor them so they will prosper and live a long life. Lord, we pray that you will aid and support all the single parents in the church. Lord, we pray for the salvation of all the family's members who are unsaved. Let us now pray for our jobs, pray for your boss and your colleagues to be saved. Lord, we praise you and thank you for our jobs and the regular income we receive. Lord, we commit ourselves once again to obey our earthly masters in obedience to your word. Lord, we pray to bless the places that we are working. Lord, give them more businesses and income so we can receive our salaries on time. Lord, use our jobs to train us more to be like you in characters and for the people we see you in our lives. Lord, help us that our light shine before the people who are working with us, that they may see our good works and glorify you, God, our Father, in heaven. We pray that through our lives we'll teach people around us to be honest, diligent, to work hard, to obey, and to be submissive to our earthly masters. Lord, we pray for salvation of all those people around us in our working places, in the name of Jesus. Let us now pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are in need. Lord, we pray that you will help them in the trials that they are passing through in their lives. Lord, heal those who are sick among them, give jobs to those who are jobless, and give wisdom and solutions to those who are trials. Lord, we trust you that you will meet all their needs. Lord, reveal to them the things that they need to do, in the name of Jesus. Let us now pray for our neighbors, colleagues, relatives, people back home in our countries, and those whom we are meeting in the streets, in the market, in our accommodations, and in our working places to be saved. Lord, we pray to make a way to all those people whom we are reaching, that you open and soften their hearts to choose to obey, to believe and live by your word. Lord, move upon their lives and prove your word to them. We seek your divine intervention into their life to come out from their bandages and sins and receive the salvation that comes from you in the name of Jesus. Let us now pray for the UAE and the extension of the church in other countries, in Oman, Kuwait, Iraq, Pakistan, India, Philippines, Sri Lanka, and Armenia. Lord, we praise you and thank you for all the places that you allow the church to expand. Lord, we pray for the salvation of the people and the authorities in all those countries. We pray to bless those countries, so we also will be blessed. Lord, we commit ourselves to obey the rules and regulations. Lord, protect all the church congregations and workers, and empower us with the Holy Spirit to reach new people, to preach the gospel to them. Lord, bring them at your feet and teach them to live according to your laws and precepts. Lord, we trust you that you will provide for all the logistic needs, offices, and documentation needed for the church. Lord, we pray for the reduction of the fees of the rent, water, electricity, telephone, internet, petrol, gas cylinders, transport, and tax on all those places. Let us now pray for the church and for all the ministries of the church. Pray for more evangelism, more Bible study groups, and more congregations to be planted. Pray for more people to get water baptized and more workers to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Pray and commit yourself to serve God. Lord, we pray to bless and spread the congregations of the church in other places in the world. Lord, help us to reach new cities, towns, villages, countries, and new languages and ethnic groups. Lord, bless the church school, the church banking, church clinic, farming ministry, watchman ministry, the publication, children and youths under their parents, wives under their husbands, the translation ministry, and the website. Lord, we pray for more wisdom and discernment in leading the ministry you called your church to do and to serve others. Lord, expose the hidden sins and help us as a church and give us wisdom how to deal with them. Lord, fulfill the vision of the church, multiplication in peace with implementing the whole will of God. We pray for revival of the backsliders to come back to you and to church. Lord, we pray for unity among us, that we unite with your word. Lord, we pray that your church will be a noble vessel to bring the salvation of Jesus to the world. Lord, we commit ourselves to go and evangelize the new places that you are leading to us to go. We pray for more souls to be saved. We pray to give us the gifts of healing, faith, discernment, prophecy, teaching, pastoring, evangelism, and the rest of the gifts that we need to reach the lost souls and for further extension of the church. Lord, we commit ourselves to work with you, that the fruit of the Holy Spirit will not all manifest in us the love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, faith, long-suffering, kindness, patience, and self-control. So people will see Jesus in our lives in the name of Jesus. Let us now pray for our service today. Lord, we pray to anoint our service and fill us once again with the Holy Spirit. Lord, bless our prayers, our songs that we will sing. Bless our giving and bless your message today to us to apply in our lives. Lord, anoint the speaker. Do miracles and wonders as we worship you today. Heal the people, Lord, and set them free from their bandages and save them. Lord, speak to us through your word that we may apply in our lives, that our lives will be living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto you, and good testimonies to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us now all stand and worship the Lord and sing praises unto him.
Praise God, let's open our Bible. Book of Acts. And chapter 2. And we will read verse 1 to 4. Book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as if of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them in glowing tongues, like as of fire, and sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. The power of the church is from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. And if you ask me, what is your main need? I have only one need. It's the Holy Spirit in my life. When we have the Holy Spirit, all our needs are met, because the Holy Spirit is God. Let's sing, let your Spirit, let your Holy Spirit come.
Let your Spirit come, let your will be done, let your presence fall on me, as you set me free, you're my liberty, let your presence fall on me. me. Let your spirit come, let your will be done, let your presence fall on me. Christ, you set me free, you're my liberty, let your presence fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall in this place. Come and change my heart, renew me with your mercy and your grace. Let the love of Christ surround me. Come closer to my side. Let your spirit fall on me. Let your spirit come, let your will be done, let your presence fall on me. Christ, you set me free,
yes, oh God.
You're my liberty, let your presence fall on me. Let your presence follow me.
Yes, Holy. Yes, through the God, we ask to fill us with the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Ghost, so that your presence will be with us. And as Moses said, if you will not go before us, don't save us, O God. Let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us. We thank you for the gifts of the Holy Spirit that you give us to direct the church in all the affairs that we are doing. Oh God, I pray for healing. I pray for anointing. Oh God, I pray for miracles, for souls to be saved, for workers to be raised up, for backsliders to come back, for the dead to raise up from dead as we move forward by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises.
Hallelujah. Sing to the Lord.
I'm so glad you're in my life. So glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my death to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Hallelujah, oh God.
Lord, I love to sing your praises.
Hallelujah, oh Lord.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
We praise you, oh God.
I'm so glad you came to save us.
Thank you for everything, oh God.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your Lord, I lift your name on high.
We lift your name on high. Yes, O God, we lift your name on high always. O God, lead us always to honor you. To acknowledge you, O God, in all our doing, persevering to fulfill your word, persevering to do your will, O God. Let the Holy Spirit lead us, O God, to the things of yours, to accomplish your word and your business. Lord, we pray, heal our land. Lord, heal our land.
If my people will humble themselves, and pray, if they seek my face and humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins. I will hear from heaven and give. Lord, we bow our knees and humble ourselves, and pray. Lord, we seek your face and humble ourselves and turn from our wicked ways. Father, in your mercy, forgive our sins. Father, in your mercy,
come heal our land.
Come heal our land. Lord, give.
God, thank you for the healing. Thank you for your grace and the miracles that you did. By faith we see, O God, the healing that you did and you spread, O God. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, O God. Yes, O Lord. Heal our land. Forgive sins and heal our broken land, O God. Take full control, O God. Healing and miracles. Restoration upon restoration. Revival upon revival to those who repented and they want, truly want to come back to you, O God. Welcome them, O God, and receive them and bring them back into your presence. Let us sing, Lord, I come.
Lord, I come. Take my life. I offer it to you, a living sacrifice by your grace, by your blood. I come into the Holy of Holies. All I want to do is dwell in your presence, drink from the light of your glory. Just one glimpse, just one drink, and my soul is satisfied. Lord, I come. Take my life. I offer it to you, a living sacrifice by your grace,
by your blood.
I come into the Holy of Holies. All I want to do is dwell in your presence, drink from the soul is satisfied. All I want to do is dwell in your presence, drink from the well that never runs dry. All I want to see is the light of your glory. Just one glimpse, just one drink, and my soul is satisfied. Just one glimpse, just one drink, and my soul is satisfied.
Yes, O God, we thank you, Lord. Continue to satisfy our souls, O Lord. We bless you. We magnify you. We adore you, O Lord. O God, all of us, we sing this song and we pray. And we ask you to take our lives. Make us understand fully what we prayed. And I pray, Lord, that take all the variances and help us, all of us, to do the very will of yours. Open our eyes to see the wrongdoings that we are not seeing in our lives. so we can repent and we understand even the small wrongdoing or small sin, it have a bad effect. Lead us and guide us, even as we continue to worship you by our giving through the direction of your word. Teach us and lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We will continue to speak about the teaching of Paul and the opening and how he beautifully connected the Old Testament with the New Testament. When he said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 13, "Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they that which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar?" And we discuss, and he will continue to speak today about the rise of the priest, and in the New Testament, the minister that called by God and anointed by God to lead in the book of Numbers, chapter 18, when God spoke to Aaron and his rights and the right of the priest and the rights of the Levites. And I will read verse 19. Numbers 18 and verse 19. "You know them all the heap offerings of the holy things with the children which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord have I given thee, and thy sons and thy daughters with thee by statutes forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord and to thee and to thy seed with thee." These things, these are when they vow or dedicate or offer. You know, and about their vows. That's not the peace offering, that's not the tithes, that's not the first fruits. And that's not the burnt offering to keep the fire on the altar, to keep the ministry going on. That is something else. They want to give more. And he said, all the holy things, that means hallowed, that means set apart and dedicated to God. In Leviticus chapter 37, chapter 27, there is a list of things they would vow to God. From verse 1 to verse 8, when they want to dedicate themselves, but since they cannot get part in the work inside the ministry, inside the temple, God had put the prices for them from according to the age, if it is man or it is woman, from 1 month to 5 years, from 5 years to 20 years, from 20 to 60, above 60, male and female, different prices. You can read. This, when they dedicate themselves, they pay the price to the priest and go to him. It goes directly to his pocket for his maintenance. Now, in the New Testament, when somebody dedicates himself, we say to him, "Come and take part of the ministry." In verse 9 and 8, it is about not himself, about their beast. And if it be a beast, whereof man bring an offering unto the Lord, all that any man giveth of such unto the Lord shall be holy. He shall not alter it nor change it, a good for a bad, or a bad for a good. And if he shall at all change beast for beast, then it and the exchange thereof shall be holy. And if it be an unclean beast, of which they do not offer a sacrifice unto the Lord, then he shall present the beast before the priest, and the priest shall value, whether it be good or bad. As far as who are the priests, so shall it be. But if he will at all redeem it, then he shall add a fifth part thereof unto thy estimation. Now here is speak about a piece about enemy. If it is clean, the priest will get it and he will slaughter it and he for his family. And if it is unclean, like an ox or this one donkey, they cannot offer it to God, they cannot slaughter. Either he will give it to him, that will be his transport, or he will use it for carrying certain things, or he will give the price. Even the clean animals, he can pay the price for them at one fifth because he wants to redeem. He had dedicated it, but he does not want to give it. If he does not want to give, he can add one fifth of the price of it and give it to the priest. I have my card has been given by one brother. That is not his tithe, that is not his first card. That was his vow to God, that he will serve the Lord with me. And since he was not able, he said to me, I give you my card. Wherever you go, as if I am with you serving the Lord. These are the things that when you dedicate will go to the priest, to the minister, to the pastor whom God had called. Now verse Leviticus verse 14 and 15. Speaking about dedicating things. I am speaking scriptures. This is the law. This one, Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 14. And when a man shall sanctify his house to be holy unto the Lord, then the priest shall estimate it, whether it be good or bad. As the priest estimate it, so it shall stand. When he gets the house, the priest will value how much and he will pay for it. And if he has sanctified, it will, and if he thus sanctified, will redeem his house. He will take the house back to him. He just wants to pay the money. Then he shall add the fifth part of the money of thy estimate, of thy estimation as great, and it shall be his. That's how we dedicate house to God. Did the death of Jesus cancel that? No, at all. Let's confirm it. That when we want to give to God, the blood of Jesus was shed for our sins. But the giving part that the scriptures teach us, we need to continue to do to support the ministry of God. In verse, and I will bring you the example from the New Testament. And if a man shall sanctify unto the Lord some part of a field of his possession, then thy estimation shall be according to the seed thereof. An omer of barley seed shall be valued at 50 shekels of silver. When they dedicate their field, their land, or part of it, the value of it is based on how many years until the Jubilee? How much seed it can produce, and how much year remaining until the 50 years? And the estimation will be counted. If he sanctifies his field from the year of Jubilee, according to the estimation, it shall stand. But if he sanctifies his field after the Jubilee, then the priest shall reckon unto him the money according to the year that remain, even unto the year of Jubilee, and if he shall be abated from the estimation, the value of the land that he want to give, the value of the money of it, according to how many years remain, the priest will estimate that, and the man will pay. If he want to redeem it, He wants to keep the land for himself. He needs to add one thing. Listen to this. And if he has sanctified the field, when in no wise redeem it, then he shall add the fifth part of the money of their estimation and trade, and it shall be assured to him. He wants to give his land, but he wants to give it. He gives the value of it, how much it will give a profit until the year of Jubilee, and will add one fifth of it. And if you will not redeem, now here's the question. If you will not redeem the field, or if he had sold the field to another man, it shall not be redeemed anymore. But the field when it goeth out in the Jubilee shall be holy unto the Lord as a field devoted. The possession thereof shall be the priest. If he had sold the land after he paid the price of it, if he sold it to somebody else and he did not redeem it, he did not pay the fifth of it, at the year of Jubilee, listen to this, the land will go to God. It will go to the priest. And that is the only situation in the scriptures. The priest were allowed to possess land their own. Did that happen? Yes. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 32, Jeremiah, when he was in jail, God told him, your uncle will send his son to you to sell his land. Buy it from him. Book of Jeremiah chapter 32. The priest had the right to possess, as we explained, but the Levites at all, they have no right to possess land. Verse 6. Behold, Hananiah the son of Shallum, the Anakim, shall come unto thee, saying, buy thee my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy it, because he is near to kin to him. He wants to sell the land, he's a priest. He got the land by somebody who has sanctified. Now he needs money. He cannot sell it outside. He needs to sell it to his clan, to one of his priests that is near to him. So Hananiah, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison according to the word of the Lord and said unto me, buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin. For the right of inheritance is thine. There is no one other after him near to his uncle. Only Jeremiah was left to get that inheritance. He told him, you buy it because I need. And the redemption is thine. Buy it for that. Then I know that this was the word of the Lord. Now, let me ask a question. Let us ask this question. In the New Testament, they were doing that. They were bringing houses and they were bringing lands to the apostles or no? Let's read Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And let's read verse 34 and 35. That is not the tithes. That is not the first fruit. That is not the peace offering. That is not the burnt offering to support the ministry. That is not thanksgiving for God's save your life. That is something else you dedicate as God inspired you. You say in Acts chapter 4, 34, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. In the New Testament, they were doing it. They were obeying the law. When there is need and they have land and houses, they will go on and lay them down at the apostles' feet and distribution was made unto every man according as he has need. That was what they were doing. Now is the opposite. People are buying lands and houses and putting themselves into trouble and debt. They cannot pay tax, they cannot give their first good because they are under loan. In verse 30, I need to teach you these things. We need to deal with the idol of real estate. It's a big idol. Now people worship the idol of real estate, buying lands and houses, and they don't have, or they don't need it, and put themselves into trouble. Verse 36, and Joseph, who by the apostle was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite. He was a Levite come to the Lord, and of the country of Cyprus. He was living in Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. He had land, he is a Levite. What he did? Possibly that was his repentance. He knew it was not lawful to him. He sold it and brought the money to the apostles' feet. I tell you, many, they withhold their tithes and first fruits because they are in debt to pay for their land, to pay for a house. And the scriptures does not teach us these things. I don't have land. I don't have my house. I don't have my land. And God is well providing for me. I teach you these things. I know you love the word of God. That's why I teach you. And I know also how you hate when these idols are touched. But I need to say it to everyone. It's a broadcast message to raise the rest who need to obey God, to repent of the idol of the real estate, so you would know how to worship God and serve Him. Let us bring our tithes, our offerings, our first fruits, our peace offering, our burnt offering. I had explained to you everything. Our vows, what we dedicate, what God inspired us, what God is speaking to us with the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for your church and your people who have dedicated their life and themselves to serve you, O God. Thank you for your word that you give us, that you lead us, that you help us, O God, to see clearly our sins and our wrongdoings and the very things that we need to do for you, O God. Set people free from these idols of real estate. Deliver them, those who are here and those who are far and those who gone away, those who are backslidden because of this idol. Make a way for them to repent. Set them free right now in the name of Jesus. Multiply this money and use it for our glory. That's all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Anoint the speaker and give her good voice and let your name be magnified, glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I am reading from the message of Dr. Ramiz, our overseer, entitled The Duties of the Priest, Part 5, Continuity for the Family of Jacob. The Duties of the Priest, Part 5, Continuity for the Family of Jacob. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come to you today with a grateful and thankful heart. Lord God, thank you for your faithfulness, for your goodness, for your kindness and your unending love to us, O Lord God. Father God, as we listen to the message today, speak to us, Lord. Allow your Holy Spirit to work and move in the life of your people, in the lives of the listeners, Lord, that through this message, Lord God, revive us and increase our faith and deeper our love to serve you more and do your will in our lives, Father in heaven. Lord God, protect us from the work of the enemy and strengthen your people day by day, O Lord. Anoint my lips as I read the message. O Lord God, your name be lifted up and your name be adored, Father in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. We will continue in this message to discuss about the family of Jacob. We spoke about his troubles in Shechem due to his negligence to his vow to God in Bethel. In spite of this, the consequences of Jacob's other sins were recognized as the history of his family continued as the following. Letter A. Rachel died after she delivered Benjamin, Jacob's youngest son. Genesis chapter 35, verses 16 to 20. Genesis chapter 35, verses 16 to 20, King James Version. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephraim. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she was called his name Benoni. But his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died, and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. Here, God allowed the second wife of Jacob to die while she was giving birth to her second son, Benjamin. Jacob was in adultery because of this second marriage, for his first wife was still alive when he married Rachel, and that is why God allowed her death to cleanse Jacob from adultery, and that was also a consequence of his sin. In the same way, when you take a wrong step against God's will and sin against him, he will make a way to cleanse you from your sin by taking the very thing that caused you to sin. Letter B. Reuben, the first son of Jacob, slept with his father's concubine, Bilhah. Genesis chapter 35, verse 22. Genesis chapter 35, verse 22. And it came to pass, when Israel dwelt in that land, that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. As Jacob committed adultery with his second marriages with Rachel and with his concubines Bilhah and Zilpah, then that sin passed to his children and to his family, as we found Reuben here slept with his father's concubine. Therefore, you need to repent of your sins, so the curse will not pass to your children, and you will find them doing the same sin. Perhaps such incidents had stopped Jacob to go unto Bilhah, and possibly Leah withheld him from going to her maid Zilpah. And now he was left with his first wife, Leah, who was God's choice for him. Letter C. Judah, the son of Jacob, slept with his Tamar, his daughter-in-law. We can read about this adultery in Genesis chapter 38. Genesis chapter 38, verses 24 to 26. Genesis chapter 38, verses 24 to 26. And it came to pass about 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, had played the harlot, and also, behold, she is with child by whoredom. And Judah said, bring her forth, and let her be born. When she was brought forth, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, by the man whose this are, am I with child. And she said, discern, I pray thee, whose are these, the signet, and bracelets, and staff. And Judah acknowledged them and said, she hath been more righteous than I, because that I give her not to Shelah my son. And he knew her again no more. Another incident of adultery passed to the children of Jacob. Again, the sin that you do will pass to your children and descendants. Therefore, refrain from all sins, so they will not pass to your children and descendants. Letter D. Joseph, Jacob's favorite son, was separated from the family. Jacob favored Joseph more than the rest of his children because he was the son of his favorite second wife, Rachel. But that caused jealousy inside the family among the siblings toward Joseph. They hated him and wanted to kill him to get rid of him. Joseph was also gifted with seeing and interpreting dreams that caused his brothers to be upset with him. And all the more, they were jealous of him when they saw their father's greater love for Joseph. Finally, the brothers of Joseph managed to get rid of him by selling him to the Midianites, who sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. We read about this event in Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37, verses 26 to 36. Genesis chapter 37, verses 26 to 36. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him. For he is our brother in our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed the kid of the goats, and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or not. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son's mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. You see clearly the favoritism that Jacob practiced caused troubles inside his family and finally troubled him. Therefore, be careful of what you do and practice inside your family, because what you sow, you will reap. Joseph stayed in Egypt 22 years away from his family. He worked as a servant at Potiphar's house. The Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. Joseph was a highly disciplined person, hardworking and faithful in his work and service, and set a good example for others to follow God. He moved away from temptation and trusted God, who only could protect him and provide for all his needs. What Joseph had received as teaching from his father and family, he applied in the years of his afflictions. Even when he was put in prison, he did his duty well and was able to restart once again, and he received favor from the authority of the person. Genesis chapter 39, verse 23. Genesis chapter 39, verse 23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Finally, Joseph was taken out from the prison and was put second to Pharaoh in managing the country of Egypt facing the 7 years of famine. During these famine years, God made a way that he would be reunited with his family who were left in Canaan. His brothers were forced to move to Egypt to buy grain, and there they met Joseph, who forgave them and welcomed them and invited them to live with him in the land of Egypt to overcome the remaining years of famine. Jacob and his whole clan moved to Egypt, and God allowed him to be reunited with his son Joseph again. Genesis chapter 46, verses 5 to 27. Genesis chapter 46, verses 5 to 27. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, and their little ones, and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle, their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. And these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt: Jacob and his sons, Reuben, Jacob's first son, and the sons of Reuben, Hanok and Pallu and Hezron and Carmi, and the sons of Simeon, Jemuel and Jamin and Ohad and Jachin and Zohar and Shaul, the son of a Canaanitish woman, and the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath and Merari, and the sons of Judah, and Onan, and Shelah and Perez and Zerah. But Ir and Onan died in the land of Canaan. And the sons of Perez were Hezron and Hamul. And the sons of Issachar, Tola and Phoba, and Job and Shimron. And the sons of Zebulon, Sered and Elon and Jalel. These be the sons of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob in Padan Aram with his daughter Dinah. All the souls of his sons and his daughters were 33. And the sons of God, Sibion and Haggai, Shunai and Ishbon, Eri and Arudai and Aridai. And the sons of Asher, Jimna and Ishoa and Ishoi and Berea and Sarah, their sister. And the sons of Berea, Heber and Malchiel. These are the sons of Zilpah, whom Laban gave to Leah, his daughter, and this she bare unto Jacob, even 16 souls. And the sons of Rachel, Jacob's wife, Joseph and Benjamin. And unto Joseph in the land of Egypt were born Manasseh and Ephraim, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipherah, priest of On, bare unto him. And the sons of Benjamin were Bela, Becher, and Ashbel, Gera, and Naaman, Ehi, and Rosh, Mupim, and Hupim, and Ard. These are the sons of Rachel, which were born to Jacob. All the souls were 14. And the sons of Dan, Hoshem. And the sons of Naphtali, Jazel, and Gunai, and Jezer, and Shelem. These are the sons of Belha, which Laban gave unto Rachel, his daughter, and she bare this unto Jacob. All the souls were 7. All the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, which came out of his loins, beside Jacob's sons' wives, all the souls were 66. And the sons of Joseph, which were born him in Egypt, were 2 souls. All the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70. The later part of the book of Genesis recorded the names of the children of Jacob with their descendants, the family of Jacob with his children, and their families, 70 people entered Egypt, and that was the size of the church. Each of the 12 sons of Jacob had descendants, and they multiplied and increased greatly in number, and for a certain time they prospered in Egypt. From one man, Adam, God instituted a family. In the early history of God's people, there were not much righteous men, but few individuals from Seth's family. They were the type of church during that stage of history, because the word church means those people who were called out of the world of darkness or sin into his light because of their willingness to follow Christ. When people increased in number on earth and became wicked, God was not pleased. Yet, he called out and preserved a lineage of families that were called as his chosen people, and from where the royal priesthood in the Old Testament would soon come. Each godly family is a congregation, a base of a church that will expand tremendously over the time with God's grace and provision. From one family that raise up children with the fear of the Lord, God will build a church of many members. Figuratively, we are the royal priests chosen by God to bear light to the world. Our children must not bear the witness of Cain, but of godly descendants. But speaking about how to raise children, there would be people commenting that some good people come from bad families and likewise. There are bad people who come from good families. Yes, the outcome of our children is not in our hand. But have we done our part by obeying God's command to teach our own children and train them up in the way of the Lord? Let us not escape the responsibility of being priestly parents. and should not say things to excuse ourselves from being accountable in bringing up our children in the fear and the ways of the Lord. We, the royal priests, whom God has placed over our families and children, shall do our part to consistently teach our children to fear God and keep His commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 9. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 9. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers had promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Let us not give up teaching and training our children in the fear of the Lord, because considering that from the same family of Adam and Eve, Seth was born, and from his descendants came out a godly and righteous ancestry. Let us be persuaded that through an individual family member of ours who comes to know God and commits to follow a righteous way of life, God's church would be conserved and godly generations could continue as royal priests who manage their family well and thus continue to worship and give glory to God. Let us give the best example of living a holy life to our children by keeping the statutes of God in our family. The messages we learn from the family life of our ancestors inspires us to walk according to God's word. God will protect us and bless our family line as long as we live away from sin. Let us therefore refrain from the wrong habit and attitude of parenting and nurturing our family first. Like Lot, who chose to live in the city and expose his daughters to sinful ways of life. And second, like Jacob, who insisted on getting the wife he loved. This resulted in him having two wives and two concubines and showing favoritism in the family. Discriminating children or any family member always caused heartache and pain inside the family. However, God blessed Jacob and his family increased in number and possession. But then Jacob neglected to fulfill his commitment to God. He had gone to Shechem and forgotten to shelter his daughter from the people of the land. Many parents are not careful to protect their children. They would say that they do not like their children only facing walls, so they allow them to experience the ways of the world and the friends around them. Worldly friends introduce wrong practices and functions that contradict Christian discipline. When a Christian family is infected, the church is also infected and will be in great danger, and the process of discipleship is spoiled. The children of Jacob had also foreign gods and rings in their ears, showing that they were slaves to foreign or idol gods. And as we go through the history of Jacob's children, we read more painful events that happened and brought bad testimonies not only to the family but to the assembly of God's people. As a result, the good plan of God for them was hindered and disturbed. They were harmed and they got the consequences of their wrongdoings, up to the point that their children's children all became slaves in the land of Egypt. Yes. They were the children of God's chosen generation, but they did not live a life that glorified God. Yes. Nowadays, many Christians are like the children of Jacob, who kept idols or foreign gods with them. They worship God like how the heathens or idolaters worship their gods, with parties or orgies, debauchery or dishonesty, and lasciviousness, or wearing clothes that expose sensitive parts of their bodies. They spend much time with friends rather than with their families. They replace their Bibles with electronic devices and allow themselves in bondage with iPhones or other media devices to watch movies, TV shows, and the social media, and to communicate with their friends in the world rather than spending time in prayer and reading the Bible. They indulge with boyfriends or girlfriends in addition to other forms of immoralities rather than building up godly families. Having worldly friends and learning from them jealousy, envy, and vices like dating, dancing, drinking, smoking, going to parties and malls, telling lies, and putting away the rules and commandments of the true and living God. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. My dear and beloved, every church is formed by families. And if sins are condoned inside a Christian family, those sins will spread like cancer into the life of families in the church. Like Father Jacob, let us repent of all these sins and renew our covenant and commitment with God. Let us bury all our family idols in Shechem and move to Bethel, the church of God. Let us lead our whole family to the house of God. We are called to live the word of God and to impart the character and lifestyle of Christ to our spouses and children. As royal priests, let us worship the living God through leading our families to live in holiness. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let us separate ourselves from the lifestyle of ungodly families and preserve a godly generation among our children. From the family of Jacob, soon one tribe will rise to priesthood, the Levitical ministers who will keep the lamps burning in the holy temple of the living God. Let us then move to preserve a royal priesthood in our families, so that the church of God, made up of godly parents and families, would continue to bring the message of hope and salvation to the next generation. Let us all stand and let us pray. Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus, who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead to give me eternal life. Lord, thank you for your teaching that showed me the bad effects and the consequences of various sins inside the family and how to repent from them. Lord, thank you for opening my eyes to the truth, and thank you for all the admonishments and corrections and the corrections that I receive in this message. Come now to God and confess your sins. Confess and renounce your worldliness, your love for the world, your yoke and wasting time with non-believers and friends, and in bondage with the media, news, and games. Confess and renounce your lust, immoralities, your favoritism and envy, jealousy, telling lies, fights, and quarrels. Confess and renounce your disobedience to God's commands, your stubbornness, delayed obedience, and doing your own will and plan. Confess your lack of fear of God, non-willingness to wait upon God's choice in your life, your bad stewardship, and your lack of reading of God's word and prayer. Confess and renounce your bad example and your non-willingness to serve God in doing the good works that He prepared in advance for you to do. Lord, forgive me. I repent of the following sins. Lord, I commit myself to live according to the plan that you had ordained for me and my family to live on. Lord, I commit myself to live in holiness and to discipline my family and take them away from all temptations and worldliness. Lord, I commit myself to cleanse my family from the media games, threats of immoralities, and other bandages that they may entangle in. Lord, protect us and provide for us so we will continue to serve you.
If my people humble themselves and pray, if they seek my face and humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins. I will hear from heaven and heal their land. Lord, heal our land. Father, heal our land.
Lord, thank you for my brothers and sisters who repented of their sins and committed their lives to you, to do your will and to live the plan that you had for them and their families. Lord, continue to lead them to the things that they need to do in their families and provide for all their needs and set them good examples to others to follow. Lord, bless us as your church. As we commit ourselves to continue to observe your word and teach our members and workers to implement your word in their lives and the lives of their families. Lord, we ask you to refill us with the Holy Spirit and give us the spiritual gift that we need to go on and evangelize and make new disciples and train new workers to go and plant new Bible studies and congregations for the church. Lord, fulfill the vision of the church, multiplication in peace with implementing the whole will of God. Lord, bless us. Enlarge our territory. Let your hand be with us and free us from harm so that we will not fail pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name.